We are also thankful for our mothers. We truly are. Our scripture passage is from the book of Ephesians today, beginning in the 5th chapter in the 21st verse. Now, there are three sections that I draw your attention to. The very first verse kind of gives us the overarching theme of the passage, and then that is followed by two sections, women's responsibility in the relationship of marriage, and then men's responsibility as husbands. Listen carefully to the first verse, the overarching theme, Ephesians 5:21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now we'll break it down between wives and husbands. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it will be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Would you pray with me? Holy Father, how thankful we are to come into your house today to worship you. We thank you for all of the good gifts that you have poured into our lives. And today especially, Lord, we thank you for our mothers who have been so faithful over the years. We didn't always understand. We didn't always appreciate. But we pray in this moment that we would honor you and, according to your word, honor our mothers today. We love you and we thank you. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move into our hearts, that we would draw close to you and one another. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible has so much to say about all of the relationships that we have. In this case, the Apostle Paul is talking to us about how we should treat one another. But it is a great blessing to me as we open God's Word, as we consider that almost every relationship that we have, the Bible has something to say about it, whether it's husbands and wives or parents and children, employer, employee, and it lays out the way that would lead us to great blessing and wholeness in all our relationships. And so it is today that we stop and we think about how we are to treat those who we call mom. Now, my first thought today was to look at some godly women of the scripture and look at the characteristics that they exhibited, and women like Eunice and Mary and Elizabeth and Hannah. And I thought, man, that's a way to start. But the more I dug into it, the more I started to think, you know, mom really doesn't need another to-do list today. Her list is already pretty long. And so I kind of shifted. And rather today, what I'd like to do is to talk about what mom deserves, what men, husbands, children should give their mom. And that changes everything. That might, you know, let's just let mom off the hook a little bit today and just rise up and call her blessed. And so I think that might increase my amen corner just a little bit. And in fact, if you're not one of those that's real comfortable with kind of speaking amen out loud, listen, I want you just to figure out which elbow side your husband is on. And so instead of saying amen, I see you, Sandy, over there looking, okay, that's your elbow side. And so if you agree with something I say, just kind of, you know, just amen it. Just amen right there in the ribs. And men, just kind of protect your side there just a little bit. So let's begin with godly husbands. And there might be some complaints already, because some men may say, you know, it's not my responsibility to bless mom on Mother's Day. That's our children's job. And I would disagree with that. In fact, Sandy said, I asked her a couple weeks ago, what would you like for Mother's Day? And she told me, that's not your job. It's our boy's job to take care of that on Mother's Day. But like I said, I don't think that's quite right. I think that after all of our wives, how much they have done, how they have help raise our children, that they deserve our love and our respect and our admiration. So let's just begin by looking at the scriptures. What does the scripture say about how husbands are to treat their wives? Verse 25, we've already identified, submit to one another. Now, in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So husbands are to love your wives. And if any of us know one Greek word, it's probably the Greek word for love. Everybody on three. One, two, three. Agape, right. And agape is really the central way that it's used in the scripture is really to define the way that God loves his children, his people. That's you and me. This is the way that God loves us. How does he love us? Well, look no further than the cross, right? God loves us so much that he would lay down his life for us so that we might have that relationship. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's a putting the needs of the other person ahead of your own. And what the scriptures say is that husbands, listen now, that's the way that we are to love our wives, in a self-sacrificing, in putting her needs above our own. May our hearts be tender enough to receive that word today. For instance, husbands, do you know what your wife's love language is? How many of you have read the five love languages? Listen, oh, that's so good. Many of you have. If you haven't read it, I would just beg you, encourage you to read it, because it's an absolutely life-changing book. And it's written by a guy named Gary Chapman, and it was transformative for me, because I didn't really understand this, that I might have one love language, my wife may have a different love language, which is in fact the case. I can tell her all day long that I love her, but that's not her love language, and so it's my responsibility to understand what will fill her love tank. I'm telling you, men, especially, if you read this, it's going to lead to a higher quality of your life. Your wife is going to be more fulfilled. You're going to be a better husband and a better father. So Gary Chapman says that there's five, and you need to know what your wife's love language is. Gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, and physical touch. Let me say it again. And by the way, men, don't go home over lunch and say, hey, honey, what's your love language? You might be thinking you're doing a good thing. No, just observe her. Just figure it out. Don't make her work for it. What's your love language? No, you watch her and figure it out. One of my other favorite books on marriage and on relationships, a book called Love and Respect. And the author of that book says this. He says that every man here today, you ready? Every man here today, every husband should have a master's and a PhD in his wife. So when I ask you what's her love language, you should just automatically know. And if it is different in yours, you can really be like two ships passing in the night. My love language is words of affirmation. It's that way for a lot of men. Words of affirmation. Sandy, you know, we say to each other 5-10 times a day, I love you. And that means a lot to me. But every once in a while, maybe once every couple weeks or whatever, she'll look me in the eyes and she'll say, "I'm proud of you. And I just want to go conquer the world for her." You know, that just means everything to me. Even as I say those words, I can just feel it in my heart. Now, I can say that to her all day long. I can say, "You're beautiful. I love you. I respect you. I'm so proud of the work that you do in this church." And all of those things are absolutely true on my part, but they're not going to feel her love. They're not going to feel her love tank like doing an act of service for her. That's her love language. And you see how we can be ships passing in the night? There, you see that? Man, you can say one thing all day long. You think, "I'm being such a good husband." It's not her love language. And so that she's kind of lonely and empty. And men, listen, it's our responsibility to make sure that her love tank is filled all the time. That is a God-given task that he's given you today. Gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch. Love her sacrificially. Love her as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He laid down his life. Lay down your personal preferences, even your needs. And what's the payoff? What's the payoff when you do that? Listen, there shouldn't need to be a payoff, but here's one. Here's what it is. God created her to respond to you, man. He created her to respond to you. And so when you love her like Christ loves the church, when you sacrifice, when you lay down your personal preferences for her, she's going to respond. Do it consistently. Make sure that, you know, she knows that you're in for the long haul. Do it consistently. She's going to respond. Happy wife, happy life. Amen? Amen. Verse 26 continues, "So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, and that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." What I think this means, men, is this. Number two, we're to take spiritual leadership and responsibility for the family. That's the way that God set up this relationship. She doesn't necessarily need you to. She's actually quite capable to, but she's going to be blessed if you do. It shouldn't be mom's responsibility. Listen, men, cover your sides. It shouldn't be men's responsibility or a mom's responsibility to drag everybody to church. Too often, I think, it falls on the women to do that. It shouldn't be mom's responsibility to drag husband to church. It shouldn't be mom's responsibility to initiate prayer or to discipline the kids in a biblical and loving way. Listen, here's what I believe, man. At my age, I guess you start to think back a little bit. You think back on some of the mistakes you've made, where you maybe needed to put emphasis in other ways. I think a lot of times, men, we just think, you know, our function, our purpose is to go to work and we will kill ourselves at work, right? We'll just have a heart attack at work. We'll just, even we're not feeling good, we're going to go to work because we're the breadwinners and that's our primary responsibility, right? Even if you say, "Well, I'm not sure I agree with that." Look at behavior, and by our behavior, that's what we confess. Here's what I'd like to just say, I don't think it's biblical. And of course we're to work, and of course we're to provide. But just think about what defines you as a man. Isn't it number one that I'm a child of King Jesus? Amen? Amen, men? Be with me now. Number two, I believe that my second responsibility, only behind my relationship with Jesus, is my responsibility to my wife. Right? And number three is to my children. And my work is just a way of providing for that. It's not who I am. It's not who I am. Who I am is a child of the King, a husband to a beautiful woman, father to two ornery sons. And I work to provide for them. We're to take spiritual leadership. And by the way, that doesn't mean dominating. You know, in the world outside those doors, leadership kind of means, you know, I'm in charge and everybody else bows to my will, and I'm the steel-toed boot, and everybody else is just the muddy doormat. Man, you know, sometimes the most troubled marriages I've ever seen are the ones that take that kind of foreign, outside the church, non-biblical attitude and put it into a marriage. You know, we go all the way back to the book of Genesis. What do we see? The focus of marriage. It said, oh, it's very romantic. It's two oxen equally yoked pulling in the same direction. No, it's not particularly romantic, but it does say this. You don't see one oxen out in front of the other. You see two together pulling in the same direction. Yoked to Jesus Christ above all things. Yielding and bowing before Him. Over the years, boy, not in my script today, over the years, I just think that one of the greatest things I see is people come in for counseling and they reached an impasse in their life. And I just think, is there any way that two good-willed, a husband and a wife, can't come together over any problem, over any problem? Just think about the greatest marital problem you've ever had. Is there any problem that two good-willed Christian people can't humbly bow before Jesus Christ together, united, that can't be healed through Him? Is there any problem? We're to be the spiritual leaders. It doesn't mean one's dominated. We're to love them as Christ loved the church. We're to put her physical, emotional, and spiritual needs ahead of ours so that someday we can present her to Jesus holy, without spot or wrinkle. And men, don't dwell on that spot or wrinkle part. Just move over that. Look through the eyes of love. Men, our wives deserve nothing. Deserve that nothing should ever come between that one flesh. This is number three. Listen, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and a mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Just think about that. Here we go. One flesh. What comes in between that? Name one thing that comes in between it. Job? No. Right? Job doesn't come between it. She's first place. What comes between it? Children? No. Husband and wife. Because those children, you know what they're going to do? They're going to grow up. And then you're going to have to share them with the in-laws. And it's going to be really hard to coordinate Christmases. And it's a whole lot easier. And then they're going to get snarky. And they're not going to do the things. And then one of them is going to move to Arizona, which is a long way. Well, maybe that's more about me than you. But listen, nothing comes between that one flesh. That's God's plan. Children, grandchildren even, as special and wondrous as they are, nothing comes between that one flesh. Over the years, people have come and asked for counsel, and I've heard men say some things that just make me cringe. And so, you know, the wife's complaint might be something like, you know, he's still talking with his ex-girlfriends on Facebook. And he'll say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. We're just friends. And you just stop it. Just stop it. Because why? Even if it does come to anything, and I've never known an affair that just, oh, I don't know what happened. No, it's kind of a gradual thing. And even if nothing did happen, what your wife deserves is absolute first place without the hint of something coming in between you. She's the queen, right? Did you say amen? All right. I'm glad I'm not sitting down there today. Sure, I text with other women, but it doesn't mean anything. It means something to her. You know, for years, I've been a pastor for 21 years, And I can count the times where I've got into a car with a woman alone. And every time that's happened, it's been on like on the way to a hospital. It's been an emergency. And you say, why is that, Cal? Because you're such a looker. Is that why? And yes, that's, no. Just an old gray-haired fella. No, because you just don't, the scriptures say that we're to be above reproach, right? You and me, we're above reproach. And you just never take a step, one step that could lead you down a path to a second step. Now listen, there's some people here today and maybe some younger folks, you go, that's just old fashioned. You know, that's just old fashioned. Here's the deal. Do you know what the divorce rate in America is today? 52%. The average length of a marriage today is 7 years. 7 years. Marriage isn't disposable. And so, men, what we have to do to fulfill our part of the obligation is to say, we're not going to put ourselves in any kind of situation. Do you know that the marriage or the divorce rate is higher in the church than outside the church? So listen, sometimes the old ways are better. And what she deserves is never to have to question your loyalty. And the payoff, the blessings of God, to live without fear, having a whole and healthy, mutually supportive relationship that blesses you. Listen, that blesses you and your children. She deserves your respect in every way. And by the way, if I could just go off on a brief tangent, show her your respect, especially, just always, but especially in front of your children. Don't you ever, man, there's another one that just makes me cringe. When a husband will be disrespectful to a wife, bad enough, in front of the children, even worse. You know why? Because husbands, what you're doing is teaching your children, this is how you can treat your wife in the future. And it just is a path that leads. You don't want that for your kids. They deserve your best. So moms, how am I doing so far? What do you say? Men, how are your ribs right now? Better move on. Let's switch over to children today. Ephesians 6:1 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen? We could stop. Close the book. Read it one more time. We'll move on. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. We underline mother today, which is the first. This is one of the 10 commandments, so that it may be well with you. Do this so it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. The scripture says, honor and obey your parents. When I was a boy, I wanted to be cool. And the truth was, I wasn't. But I had a friend who was cool, and his name was JP. And JP was cool. You know how I knew? Maybe my judgment wasn't so good. But here's how I thought he was cool. JP was the first one to smoke a cigarette. Man, I thought that was pretty cool. JP was the first one to kiss a girl. And JP, man, his parents let him roam the streets at night. He could stay out way past when the street lights came on. I had to be in the house when I was a little boy. That was the way, you know, that was before texting or anything. When the street lights came home, you better be in the house. But JP got to stay out as long as he wanted to. One night I was complaining about my curfew, and I said, well, I want to stay out like JP. And my mom said something like, well, I don't know about JP, but you be in the house. I said, why? Have you ever said this, kids? Probably some of you adults did too. Well, why does JP get to stay outside and I don't get? Everybody gets to stay out late but me. I can distinctly remember a moment when my mom's voice changed and her look got really intense. And her, I mean, literally, her voice dropped down. And she said, I wish that JP had a mama and daddy that cared enough about him, that loved him enough to discipline him when he needed it. I mean, she was just dead serious. You know what I did when she said that? Then my dad came in, and I don't remember. I rolled my eyes. And I didn't get it. Kids, listen. The scripture says, honor your mother, not just today, but every day. And the scripture, the only one of the Ten Commandments that has a promise that goes with it is that if you honor your mother, you're going to live a long and blessed life. Listen to what she says. Listen to what she says. I didn't get it until JP got carted off to what we used to call reform school. I don't even know if they have that anymore. I didn't get it until I had my own children. And then I realized it's a whole lot easier to let the kids run the streets. Because it's work to provide good discipline, right? I literally, after I had my first, we had our first son, I literally sat down one day and wrote a letter of apology to my mom. We don't set rules just to be mean. We're not keeping you for something just because, you know, we're old and we don't get it. We get it. In fact, a lot of the things that you're asking about, listen, are things that we did and got so hurt by, and we love you so much that we don't want you to go through the same things that we did. Right, moms and dads? Scriptures say, obey so that it may be well with you. And the scriptures say, honor her. And honor means to admire and esteem and have reverence and be devoted. And because you're never going to know how hard it is until you're a mother yourself. Speaking of roll your eyes, I have this one little thing that I do every year. I have one scripture. Listen, kids, first off, don't roll your eyes. Because you're not nearly as cool as you think you are. Those are some ugly little faces right there. I have one scripture that I say for Mother's Day every year. I read it every year. It's one of my favorite Bible verses. Because you know what? Some kids say, husbands, you should have a PhD in your wife. You know what? Some kids have a PhD in eye rolling. Amen? Am I right? Here's how it goes. If you just got a bachelor's degree, it's just... If you got a master's degree, it's you add the psh, psh. And some kids with the PhD, they can do all three, and but they roll the whole head. It's not just the eyes. It's just like, I don't think there's anything that's more exasperating. I save this one scripture every year just for Mother's Day, just for you. Proverbs 30:17, referencing rolling your eyes. Kids, listen. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the eye that rolls the eyes, the rolling of the eyes, here's what happens. The ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Yuck! And you say, oh, Pastor Cal, I can't believe that you would say it. Believe it. I'm going to read it again. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Ooh, I can't believe you'd say it. Take it up with Jesus. Take it up with Jesus. It's in his word. And just look at moms all over the sanctuary scrambling for that pencil. What was that scripture reference, Pastor Cal? Proverbs 13:17. Do this. Do this. Next time that one of your kids rolls their eyes, just do this. They deserve better. Don't roll your eyes. Husbands, love your wives, the mother of your children. Let nothing come between you, not even the kids. Respect her always, especially in front of the children, so they'll know how to treat their spouses. Children, obey and honor, even when you don't get to do things that your friends do. No, it's not easy, and it's even hard to say no to you sometimes, but they do it out of love. Don't roll your eyes, but rather listen to Proverbs 31. We read it for our mothers today. An excellent wife, who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And here is our part, husbands and children. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. So in accordance with the scriptures, mothers, we're going to ask you to remain seated as husbands and children rise up to show our appreciation for you. Would you please? And we thank you. Would you stay standing as we pray? Holy, gracious Father, we thank you for the love that you have given us and the love manifest that we have through our mothers. We thank you, Father, and we pray your blessings upon each one to give mothers strength, to give mothers wisdom, to give moms perseverance. But we not only pray for them, we pray for husbands and children that we would give mom what she deserves in accordance with your goodwill. Help us to see her with eyes of love and compassion. Help us to be hands of strength, to speak words of love, to serve as Christ served the church. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing one last song, we would just say, whatever is on your mind today, as the Spirit has spoken to you, won't you say yes? If you'd like to join the church, know that the church doors are wide open. Our hearts are wide open. We desire that. If you'd just like to give Mom a special tug on the hand and even pray for her today, I know she'd be blessed by that. Whatever it is, say yes to the Spirit as we sing one last song.